Hello and welcome to the fourth in a series of podcasts for the 2009 fourth annual Powell River 50-Mile Eat Local Challenge. My name's David Parkinson. I'm one of the organizers of the 50-Mile Eat Local Challenge, which this year runs from Sunday, August 9th until Sunday, September 27th, which is also the second day of our annual fall fair. And you can find us on the web. We have a blog at pr50.wordpress.com. This podcast lives at pr50.podomatic.com, and we're also on Facebook, and we're Twittering, and you can find out about that stuff if you just go see the blog. You can contact me if you like at david@prfoodsecurity.org or at 604-485-2004 if you want to find out anything more about the 50 Mile Eat Local Challenge or food security issues around Powell River. This week on the podcast, I'm talking with Amy Sharp, who is one of the owners of Manzanita Restaurant, located in the old Courthouse Inn in the town site of Powell River. And this is a very well-known restaurant that does a lot of local food year-round. So it's a pretty interesting conversation I have with Amy, and let's just go to that right now. So why don't you tell the people listening a little bit about Manzanita, where it is and what it is.
Our restaurant is located in the old Courthouse Inn. It started with an interest to have, actually, my husband's oysters and mussels from his farm in the Oakover Inlet. His shellfish lease there.
Okay, we'll start again. All right. We are rolling. Make sure the numbers are going up. Oh, yeah. Okay. So why don't you just tell the people listening a little bit about what is Manzanita and where is Manzanita?
So Manzanita Restaurant is located in the old Courthouse Inn in Townsite, the old section of Powell River. We're going into our third year. My husband and I started this idea when we lived at our homestead out in Oakover, and there was so much food that the homesteaders had instilled into that property between the kiwis, the grapes, the walnuts that are just so prolific, and the kale, that we just thought, wow, you know, that, and he has his oyster and mussel lease on the Oakover Inlet a little farther away from our homestead, and I thought, you know, there's just not a lot of places to get local food. Obviously, you can't run a restaurant on kiwis, grapes, and walnuts and oysters. That would be a very eclectic mix. But it was just, there was so much food. Oh, and apples, too. Scads of apples, and we would juice apples. We'd have a bunch of friends over and juice a bunch of apples, which was great fun. But we always thought it would be great to, actually, what we really wanted to do was have a restaurant on the property there where we would decide what people would have for dinner and have people come by boat and have it really be a neat setting, like outdoor, like under a gazebo and stuff. And, you know, who knows, that might happen, but it'll probably be quite a while before that happens. But here we are now.
Yeah, and so the menu focuses pretty heavily on food sourced locally, from the seafood through produce.
That's right. We're dealing with a couple of different small farms here in town. One out in Paradise Valley called Holiday Farm, Roger and Kathy, and they're great folks. They produce us beautiful food. And we've got a really nice thing going with them as well, because we keep all of our compost here, and it goes right out to their farm, and it goes right into their dirt, which goes right back into their beautiful food, and that we all get to enjoy. And we are striving to remember to put the rice and bread in a separate bucket for the chickens, and sometimes it gets there and sometimes it doesn't, but I really like that whole circle thing. And then we also get surplus from just different people that are market farmers that are are moving a lot of their product through the market, but often if they have stuff that they is just too much, then they'll let me know.
So what are the real struggles for the restaurant, the products that you wish you could source more of, but you just can't because there's not enough local production?
What I'm really looking forward to is somebody to figure out how to have more greens in the cooler times of the year. Somebody with a serious greenhouse that's either warmed through hot compost underneath inside or with chickens, or I mean there's just so many ideas, but I'd really like to have year-round greens. And that would be great, and it wouldn't have to just be lettuces, but there's so many, you know, the yeah. Asian greens and obviously the kales, but you know, you can't and chards and whatnot, so
and really nobody is producing in enough quantity to
in enough quantity. That's right. And I'm sure we're going in that direction because there's more and more demand for that and interest in that, and I seem to see more and more people interested in doing the growing. I mean, yes, there's a lot of people that want to purchase that, but I think there's also a lot of young, vivacious folks that really want to get out there, want to get some dirt under their nails, and they take it on pretty seriously, which I think is just great. Because I think a lot of people were really nervous there for a while. It was kind of like the changing of the guard, you know, the local farmers, you know, the Emmons and stuff, and people like that who've done such a beautiful job in bringing so much great food to our community are retiring, and you know, who was going to carry it on. And what's interesting I see is a lot of the people that are taking it on now are not the farmers' children. They seem to like not be that interested, but it's often adults from more, you know, densely populated places that want to do it in a rural fashion. It's quite interesting to see that.
So you're aware of some of these younger folks coming up? You actually get to know them or meet them because they may, you know, have an interest in producing for you?
We are really excited. We're right now speaking with who they call themselves the Tribe of Three, and they put an ad in Eminence that we saw months ago. Actually, our friend Karen, who works here with us, pointed it out and said, you should call them, you should email them. And they're looking for a place to land lease and to market garden. And two of them have pretty extensive backgrounds in permaculture, which is just, I know a little bit about, but they know a lot about, and it's a really fascinating way to utilize the land, which is not such a labor-intensive way. And, you know, they've cleared all kinds of land with goats and pigs, and instead of, you know, out there backbreaking it with a hoe, you know, using some little age-old wisdom. And they want to... And our place out in Oakover is a jungle. It's, you know, 11 kilometers down a logging road to get to, or by boat access only. It is on the southern facing side, so it's quite sunny. But I wrote them quite a long email. Just, I really didn't want to sugarcoat them. I really wanted to know just what they were getting into because it's totally off the grid. The landline, phone line kept getting ripped up. It was like, you know, are you ready to be isolated? This is not for bubble gummers. This is the real deal here. And then they came out and visited it, and they just fell in love with it. And so right now we're kind of swapping plans for the land, and they're going to come out and live out there and take it on and supply food for the restaurant and market garden as well. And they're quite into producing chickens and goats on top of a whole bunch of different vegetables and fruits there. So, and they're 28 years old, which to me is such a great age because you've got enough life experience, you know something, you're not just full of hot air like you are when you're 18.
Yeah.
But yet you still have a lot of energy and go and direction, and I'm just hoping nobody gets pregnant right away because I can't slow things down. But anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to having them out there. It'll be great.
So that's a done deal. Those folks are going to be...
It's happening.
Sure.
It's happening. Yeah, we're very excited about that. So that'll be... They're going to be coming this winter, and so... You know, their intention is to be producing things by spring, you know, so they've got the winter to really kind of... There's a big greenhouse out there, and there's garden spaces, but I haven't been living out there for years, and, you know, the bush just takes over. So it's just, it's going to be some work, but
And so how about meat and dairy in the restaurant? Because I know you do serve a sort of full range of foods. And, of course, I hope many people listening to this are aware of the difficulties with the locally raised meat and dairy and eggs, and everything seems to be getting harder and harder. So how do you deal with that?
To a certain degree, I just break the rules, I guess. I mean, I buy my eggs locally here. I guess I'm not really supposed to do that. The beef, when I can get it from a person south of town, I get it from her, and I'm just, it's a great product. She's been doing it for decades, and that's just what I'm going to serve here. When I can't get hers, I get buffalo, which I find is a better quality meat than commercially manufactured beef. It's grass-fed as opposed to grain-fed. I do deal with Tannadice Farm over in Black Creek area by Comox, and they have some beautiful products there. I was getting pork from them and chicken. They ran out of chicken. I think chicken is just a huge, people really like to eat chicken. The other suppliers that I really like to deal with are West Coast, I guess it's West Coast Fish Culture. They are the Lois Lake Fish Farm, which I know really freaked me out at first, but I checked out their product. It's non-GMO. They don't use any pesticides. They don't use any antibiotics. What they feed those fish is sustainable. They can't yet find certified organic feed, but they use sustainable feed. And bottom line, I get the fish, and it is beautiful fish. I deal with a lot of whole fish, and I love their product. So that's a steelhead, so it's a salmonoid. And they're really local, and it's gorgeous. I also deal with two different fishermen. Some of their stuff is going to be close, but obviously a lot of it is from up north, the salmon, but the quality of their, I just don't deal with any big houses anymore to get fish, because the quality is so much better. Dealing with the actual fishermen, they take so much more care in their product, and I'd much rather give the money directly to them than to some house. So that's what I do.
And so what's the one product or type of sort of family of products that you wish people were producing here that they're not?
I'm really looking for my group of farmers to be able to do some chickens.
How many would you need there? How many can you reliably go through in a week, let's say?
I'd say in a week, maybe seven chickens. You know, it's not the biggest part of my menu, but that's not a huge amount, but right now I get my free-range chicken from Russ over at the Chopping Block. It's a nice product. It's Dunkin'. It's close-ish in the grand scheme of things. And I do find the product's very nice, and when you get into BC, actually certified organic, it's quite a bit more expensive because of all of the hoops that they have to go through, and I acknowledge that that's a valid value. I just look forward to, you know, I don't know, by then, you know, will we be able to legally butcher chicken here? I don't know. I mean, I know that these farmers coming to my place are not going to be too thrilled about having to load up 30, 40 chickens and take them for a ride. Yeah. You know, that doesn't sound very smart. And think of what all the costs that's going to ding, ding, ding on everything. Mm-hmm. So.
And how do you find the sort of public reception of what you're doing here? When you opened, was it kind of a constant explanation that you had to do with people coming in to, you know, tell them what local food is about? Or did you find that people sort of got the point of that right off the bat?
Some people just love it right off the bat. For some people, it was strange because it means, you know, I don't have lobster on my menu. You know, and people are, you know, why? You know, well, I just kind of want to do more local food, and you know, and that it's for some people, they don't care. They want what they want, and they want to pay for it, and they want what they want. Period. You know, and that's fine. That's just, I really don't want to do that. I We did try to get local scallops when we opened up, and mm-hmm. that was a bit of a schlamazel, because they were just smaller, and my poor kitchen staff, they actually came to us so fresh they were still alive, and it was an interesting event. And so last year we did carry East Coast scallops. They're fantastic. They're an awesome product. The way they're processed, you know, they're frozen so fast that still the quality is very nice, even though they're coming across the country. This year, though, I chose not to do that. I just stuck with the local prawns here and the local fin fish and like that. And my dream is that we will have local scallops here that will be in a size and a cost that I can do that. Right now, those scallops are going to Asia because uh-huh. they'll pay for them.
Right.
And see, and a lot of restaurants around here serve prawns from Asia because they don't want to pay what our prawns cost, which I find unfortunate. I mm-hmm. just find that unfortunate. You know, you're right here, you're looking out at this water. You should be eating food right out of this water, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes a lot more sense to me. And you know, you're worth it. Spend a couple more bucks, really. You know, that's...
Yeah.
I don't know. That's me, I have a shellfish allergy, so I can't even eat any of that stuff.
Oh, no kidding.
So I can eat fin fish. I can't eat oysters or crabs. We're hoping at some point, one of our other grand dreams is to actually have a live tank right here in the restaurant. I'm going to put it right in that corner.
Yeah.
And that way we could have oysters. Not really that we would pull that many out, but just so people could see the oysters right there. But I would definitely want to have prawns and crab, although you have to put a screen down the middle or your crabs will be eating lots of prawns. And whatever. I just think it would be a really neat thing for people to see. And we'll play around with that idea. It's a small restaurant. I don't have a lot of real estate in here, but
yeah.
It's cozy. Yeah, we have a good time in here. We do lots of, you know, private parties, and we cater and take food all over the place. We do, third year in a row, we do a quite nice cocktail party out at Mink Island for right under 100 people, and that's the whole boat show, and we do some fun stuff.
So, again, why don't you just remind people where you're at or how they can find you on the web or by phone or mm-hmm. where you're located?
Yeah, so Manzanita Restaurant in the Old Courthouse Inn in Townsite. We are open every night except for Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That's my weekend. So we are open Sundays and Mondays because I find a lot of restaurants aren't. We have our Sunday brunch. And we have a nice little website called manzanita.ca. So that's manzanita.ca. We change our menu quite often. If somebody sends me an email or calls me, I can email them the current menu. We have a menu page on the website. It's been a little onerous to keep that up to date, but we're doing our best.
Great.
And our phone number is 483-2228.
Well, I think that wraps it up, so thanks for talking with me.
Thank you, David.
That concludes my conversation with Amy Sharp of Manzanita Restaurant in Powell River. If you want any details about where Manzanita is or how you can get in touch with them, I will put some of that information in the show notes for this podcast, which again is at pr50.podomatic.com. And again, you can find our blog for the 50-mile Eat Local Challenge at pr50.wordpress.com. As always, our intro music is provided by Puerto Rican band Balloon. The track is called Snol, S-N-O-L. Outro music from Canadian artist Alistair Thompson from his e-album called Infinities, and the track is called The Long Winter. This podcast has been released to the World Wide Web under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 license. And if you have questions about that or any aspect of this podcast or the 50 Mile Eat Local Challenge, please feel free to get in touch with me at david@prfoodsecurity.org or 604-485-2004. Thank you for listening.